Okay, Acts chapter 9. Let's look at verse 1. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came to near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus who you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goats. And so he trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice and seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. But they led him away by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Here I am, Lord. And so the Lord said to him, Arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him so that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call upon your name. But the Lord said to him, Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles, before kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, whom appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once. And he arose and was baptized. So when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus, and Saul preaches. Immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Now, again, last week we were looking at Saul and looking at his testimony, and we actually ended here in verse 20. Look at verse 20. It says that he immediately preached the Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. And I was talking about how we need to notice that what he preached Christ. He didn't preach religion, traditions, ceremonials, or rituals. He wasn't preaching or exalting himself or his spiritual experiences of the vision that he had with the Lord, or his discipling of Christ when he took him out there into the desert, his fasting and praying. Paul preached Christ and him alone. It was about him. About Christ, the one that saved him, the one that took him and changed his life completely. He preached Christ the Messiah, the Son of God, and he pointed all that to Jesus himself. Now, you remember Saul sat under one of the greatest teachers of all of Israel, Gamaliel. And because of his schooling, Paul had that background already in him. And so he had all this training about and teaching of the Old Testament about the Messiah. And so he was able now to connect, putting two to two together, connecting it all to Christ. And so everything that he read, everything that he studied, all the knowledge, the wisdom, the understanding, that all began to point to Jesus in his mind. He was able to put it all together. Because why? Those scales fell from his eyes. So he was able to see that Jesus was the true Messiah, the Son of God. I think about in my life, what was it that entreated me so much? What was it that caused me to now realize that Jesus is Lord? When I first accepted Christ, it wasn't like I was this spiritual man or everything changed all at once. I was still battling the flesh. But there were things that happened in my life that I was able to put two to two together and realize, you know what? He is the Messiah. He is my Lord and Savior. My life started to change. And the little bit that was already in me, God took it and perfected it. He took that was in me and pointed to Christ. So here in verse 20, it tells us that immediately he preached to Christ in the synagogues that he was the Son of God. So when I think of Saul, he started that process of what? Wanting to know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's why he was able to say that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. I love that verse. He says, I don't want to know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. I think that's something that we all should just want to know. I just want to know Jesus. I don't want to go beyond Jesus, because if I go beyond Jesus, then I'm going to get in the way. Sometimes we go beyond Jesus in our understanding or in our wisdom and our knowledge, and we cause problems. But Paul had it all in him. He says, I just want to know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. And because this is what he started to preach, he started to do it first to the Jews, and he did it right after his conversion. Now, it tells us in verse 21 that look at 21, it says, then all who heard him were amazed. They looked at him. This is Saul, remember. They were astonished. They were shocked at what they were hearing and at what they were seeing. And they said to one another, is this not he who destroyed those who called upon this name in Jerusalem? And he has come here for that purpose, so that we might bring them bound to the chief priests. So they knew Saul as a man of what? A man full of hate, a man who was breaking into homes, into meeting places of those who were calling upon the name of Jesus. And they knew that he was sent there with a letter from the religious leaders, from the Pharisees, from the Sadducees, to arrest and to chain up men, women, those who were the followers of the way, which is Jesus, and drag them back to Jerusalem and put them to death. So this is what they knew of Saul. And they were amazed over the fact that they were now witnessing a man who was so radically changed. I don't know if any of you here, when you first accepted the Lord, how you had this radical, amazing change, or did it all come at once, or was it sporadically? Was it all spread out? I know a brother who had a Coke habit back in the 80s, $100 Coke habit a day. And when he accepted Christ, the day he accepted Christ, the next day it was taken away like that. That was an amazing change, that the Lord took it away just like that. The next day he accepted the Lord, no more. He didn't spend no more money on it. He didn't seek it out. He didn't try to find it. He was radically changed. And this is why they were amazed about Saul. He was a man who was now associating him and identifying himself with those who he came to destroy. Look what they said here in that verse. He said, hey, he came here to destroy those who are in Jerusalem, who call upon that name Jesus. So they recognized him as that. A man who is now preaching and proclaiming Jesus to what? To be the Messiah, the Son of God. Preaching the very thing that he was trying to stomp out. The very thing that he was arresting the believers for. Blasphemy of God. But isn't that what our Lord does? He changes lives, right? How many of you had your life changed? That's what the Lord does. And I remember one of my dad's friends, he came up to me and said, you know what? Of all your dad's kids, you were the worst. I thought you would turn out to amount to nothing. This is what he told me. And he says, and now look at you. You have God in your life. Just goes to show you that God helps those who help themselves. And I said, well, No, that's not what the Bible says. I said, the Bible says God helps those who helps others. But he told me, he said that he thought I would mount to nothing, that I was the worst of them. And so there was this radical change in my life. It was up because of Christ. He changed me. I had that experience myself. And so the Jews here in Damascus, they were all amazed. But yet they still weren't converted to Christ yet. But they what? They were confused. And Saul realized at this point that the Jews were not receiving his testimony. Look at verse 21. It says, then they all who heard were amazed and said, is this not him, he who destroyed those who call upon the name in Jerusalem and has come here for the purpose so that he might bring them bound to the chief priests? But Saul increased all the more in strength, and he confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that this Jesus is the Christ. So between verse 21 and verse 22, we're told there's this time gap between about 2 to 3 years between here, where Paul, after he was being rejected by the Jews, he took off for the Arabia desert. He was in the wilderness, and he was there waiting on the Lord. And according to Galatians chapter 1, verse 15 through 19, this is where you can fill in the gap between verse 21 and verse 22. Paul said this, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and he called me through his grace. And I love this saying, because he's saying here, hey, you know what? I know that it was God who separated for such a time as this in my mother's womb that I was meant to be with God. But he didn't know that until when? Till he had his experience with Christ. And I think in my life, for such a time as this, God separated me also for this time. I didn't know it till 1978, though, or 1979, when I first accepted Christ into my life. I didn't realize that for such a time as this, because prior to 1979, I was in the world. I didn't want nothing to do with Jesus, nothing to do with church. And there's many times that I could have been killed. And if I would have been killed, I would have went to hell. But I can honestly say now that God separated me from my mother's womb, and he called me through his grace. You can. To what? To reveal his son that I might preach him among the Gentiles. I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were the apostles before me, but I went to Arabia, and then I returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and remain with him 15 days. So between verses 21 and 22, because the Jews were rejecting him, he went off to the Arabia desert for 3 years, and that's where he spent time being taught by Jesus Christ himself in the scriptures. And every act that he had inside him, it was being related to Christ. He was being instructed in. He was being discipled, ministered to. And it was a time of him being strengthened. That's why it's so important that we get into fellowship. It's so important that we get into the Word of God, because we need to be instructed. We need to be discipled. We need to be ministered to and strengthened in our walk. So Jesus took him out to the Arabia desert because guess what? Now he's going to do a new thing in his life. There's going to be this whole new fresh work in Saul's life. And Jesus was now going to reveal himself in a whole new way. And I think about Paul here, or Saul, he did the same thing to the Apostle John. Now remember, the apostles, all of them were martyred except John. And remember, they tried to boil John in a big pot of oil, but he wouldn't die. He wouldn't boil. And so what they did is they put him on the island of Patmos, where he died of an old age. It was a deserted place, a place of rocks. It was barren. But that's the place where John saw Jesus and he wrote down everything that he told him to write, and he wrote the book of Revelations. The word revelation means revealing, and it was not the revealing of John, but it was the revealing of Jesus Christ. And he wrote 22 chapters of Jesus and what was to come. So if you're here listening and you find yourself saying, hey, who can I talk to, or why can't I share Christ, or how can I share Christ? I want to encourage you, maybe you need to go off into this isolated place for the purpose of hearing from God. I do. I go off sometimes by myself, maybe a couple days, and I sit before the Lord. Maybe you need to go off somewhere, and you need to get a revelation from Jesus himself. And I'm not talking a new revelation. It's not a new revelation, but a revealing of him through his word. Maybe he wants to speak to you and share his plan, his will with you, what he wants to do with you. Now, I've never understood the meaning of prayer closet. Remember Jesus talked about how going to your prayer closet? Until one day in the office, and it wasn't this office. We used to have an office on Elkhorn Boulevard on Meat Street. And it was right behind the 7-Eleven. It was a small office. And one time in the storage room, it was a real small closet. It was a house converted into an office. So this room was so small, but we used to stick our supplies in there. And one day I needed some staples. So I went in there and I opened the door, and there was one of the pastors was laying on the ground in there. And I kind of opened the door on him. What he was doing was he was in his prayer closet. He was praying. But the funny thing about it, he was so big, and even myself, the closet's so small that he was kind of all bent up. His legs were way up here, and his head was way down here. And I kind of surprised him when I opened it up, but he was praying. He was off seeking the Lord and hearing from God. And so that's what we need to do. We need to go off and worship the Lord. You need to draw close to him. You need to be still. And if you do this, I guarantee you that you will see him in ways you never would have had you been somewhere else. You never would have. You never will. When I go off by myself, I just get so pumped up and excited. Look at verse 22. It says, Saul increased all in the more in strength, and he confounded the Jews who dwell in Damascus, and proving this Jesus is the Christ. Now, how could Saul do this? Because Saul was faithful and Saul focused. He continued on with his relationship with Christ. And because of this, one, he continued to grow spiritually. He increased them in more and more in spiritual strength. Now, the word here, increase all the more, the Greek meaning means that he became strong within. This is what he's talking about. He became strong within. It means that he gained this inner strength and he increased spiritually. And so the more he grew in the Lord, the more he was able to what? Confound, or the word confound means confuse those who opposed, those who rebelled against the gospel of Jesus Christ, against the truth, against the good news of Jesus. He was able to prove that what he had was real. I'm always saying what I have is real. See, that's how I know God is real. Because why? My changed life. Your changed life. If you are changed, he's real. He was able to prove that what he had was real. And it's kind of like this. You know, I use this for the kids, and I do it all the time. And I do it for the purpose that they will be confused. I mean, you see me do this all the time. I take that paper bag, you know, nothing in there, and I do it all, you know, and I do it, and I just throw it up. And the kids, they're like this. They're like, and they're confused. Now, God's not the author of confusion. But the reason why I do this is because I take that state when they're in confused, and I start talking to them about God. And I tell them, this is God. You know, you can't see him, but you see what he's doing in our lives. You see, you hear him in others. You hear him in the Word of God. You hear him in your teachers. And so what does that do? That causes them. I'm there proving that Jesus is the Christ. Well, this is what Paul was doing. He confused them. He was proving, able to prove and affirm and to confirm that what? Jesus is the Messiah. But that came only by him waiting on the Lord and sitting at the Lord's feet for over 3 years. Look at 23. It says, now after many days were passed, the Jews plotted to kill him. But their plot became known to Saul. And as they watched the gates day and night to kill him, then the disciples took him by the night and let him down through the wall in a large basket. So because Paul was able to prove that Jesus was the Messiah, he was able to do that. But here in verse 23 through 25, he wasn't able to win their hearts over to Christ. Even though Paul, he was the perfect person to bring the gospel to the Jews, it just wasn't the plan of the Lord at this time. It wasn't God's timing yet. Why? Because every time he tried to minister to the Jews, he was met with this animosity and this hatred for him. And the proof is in the fact that he had to be let down in a basket in the cover of night. Why? To save his life. That's the proof there. He wasn't getting to them, to their heart. They wanted to kill him. So the brothers had to lower him down in a basket. I'm trying to picture this. You know, it's like if they're trying to get me and you open that window there and say, hey, brothers, lower me down. I'll sit on this chair and you lower me down in the chair and then I escape. You know, this is what they had to do to him. He had to leave. But in spite of all that, Paul, he was a faithful witness for the Lord. Despite a life-threatening plot against him. And I love this because he did the same thing in Acts chapter 21, which we're not there yet. But he was preaching to the Jews in the temple. And he made such a ruckus there because what he preached about Jesus being the Messiah, that the Jews stirred up the whole city. And they started to literally beat Paul. They were beating him. And the Romans had to come down and they had to rescue him. And as they were carrying him away, literally grabbing him and carrying him away because the people were trying to kill him. And so they brought him up to the garrison. They brought him up to where the Romans, to their little fortress there. And just before they took him inside, what did Paul do? He says, wait a minute. Is it okay if I speak to those who are trying to kill me? And the Roman centurion looked at him and he's, okay, go ahead. And he turned around and he started again preaching Jesus as the Messiah. These are the guys that try to kill him right now. They were beating him and they led him away. But he says, wait a minute, I want to speak to them. He was a faithful witness to the Lord. Despite the life-threatening actions against him, he just wanted to preach Christ. So Paul's been witnessing in Damascus for some time now, just right after his conversion, preaching Christ and proving that Jesus was the Messiah, the Savior promised by God. In verses 20 and 22, he was strong in the Lord, and that spiritual strength was evident here in verses 23 through 25. Because why? He was preaching and he was confusing those who rebelled against the gospel of Christ in verse 22. But what I love about this and what encourages me is that the gospel was very effective. Don't the word tell us that the word of God will never go void to those who hear it? It doesn't go void. What you're hearing through the word of God right now, it ain't going to go void. It never does. And one day or one event or one time, the Holy Spirit will bring it into remembrance. There's some times when I'll hear the word of God and I'll forget what the pastor said. I'll forget what the person said. And then days later, all of a sudden, I remember. That comes from the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit brings all things into remembrance. And so look at verse 26. It says, and when Saul had come to Jerusalem, now after they let him out down at the basket, after Saul, when he had come to Jerusalem, notice Paul doesn't go to the Gentiles, not yet. He goes right to Jerusalem, the capital of Judaism. the very center of those who wanted to destroy him. He goes to Jerusalem, and he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, and they did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And so he was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and going out. Now, again, Saul was faithful, and he had this great, great desire for fellowship in his heart. Fellowship, he wanted a fellowship with the believers now. He's just changed. He doesn't want a fellowship with the Sanhedrin and with the Pharisees and the religious leaders. He wanted a fellowship with some true believers. And so he goes to Jerusalem. But what happens? They rejected him also. Let me tell you, it's a very awful feeling to be rejected by your very own. I know, I've been there. I've been there when I was accused of stealing, in which I didn't, but I was accused of stealing by one guy who just persecuted me all the time. And he went everywhere I went to try to prove that I was a bad guy. I don't know, to prove he wasn't real. And so he accused me of stealing. He went to my brothers. There was five of us. He went to them and he said, hey, he stole. And you know, each and every one of them believed him. And they actually rejected me. And that was one of the worst days of my life. And I sat there almost in tears with the Lord. How can this be, Lord? What do I do? I can't believe this. And I was so discouraged that I took everything that had to do with God off my board, because I was so discouraged and so bummed out and devastated that my own brothers had rejected me, just like they did to Saul right here. And then the Lord spoke to me. I was working, and I was just doing my work. All of a sudden, the Lord came, and the peace of God that passed all understanding just fell upon my shoulders, and I literally felt this weight just kind of be lifted off, and it kind of just went shot up into heaven. I physically felt this. And when that happened, the joy of the Lord that's unspeakable and full of glory came upon me. And from being sad, from being felt rejection and bummed, to being excited and happy, I was so excited I went to each of the brothers. I said, God's going to take care of it. God's going to take care of it. God's going to take care of it. And I was so excited. I went to work and I was just so happy. Well, God took care of it. Because the next day, that guy did get fired for stealing. But I can imagine how Paul felt. You know, here he wants to be with the believers. And yet, they didn't want to be with him. I saw this video. It's like this. This video of these goats. What this guy did is he put a mask, a scary skeleton mask on the head of this goat. And he put the goat in there. And every time the goat tried to go with the other goats, they're all maybe about a good 50 goats, and they all just, or sheep, and they all just kind of went away from him. He would go over here, and they went over here, and he kept trying to be with them. But they kept, because they saw this mask on this goat, and on this sheep, and they were trying to, I don't know why they did it, but they're trying to prove some point or something. But that's how it was with Paul, with Saul. He wanted to be with the believers, but guess what? They just couldn't trust in him. He had this great desire to fellowship with them. So the part that I want to encourage you, the fact about this is Paul or Saul tried over and over again to join the disciples in Jerusalem. In fact, the word in the King James says as stayed. In the New King James, it says tried. Paul tried to join them. It means he tried repeatedly. It wasn't a one-time thing where he came in like probably some of us. We come, hey, can I fellowship with you guys? No, we don't want you fellowship. All right, I'm going to leave. And you leave. Paul repeatedly, over and over again, tried to join the disciples. He tried to fellowship with them. He didn't give up. He was faithful to his God. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 through 9, again, I share this many times, and Jesus tells us that we have to ask and it will be given. We have to seek and you will find. You have to knock and the door will be open, because everyone who asks, receive. Everyone who seeks, find. And him who knocks, it will be open. And when he says ask, seek, knock, it means repeatedly, over and over and over again. It doesn't mean one time, guys. It means we have to do it every day. But when I think about Saul, Saul was actually paying the price of what? Of his past life. Remember, he was the arch persecutor of the believers. So he was paying the price of his past life. And I'm always saying this. See, you can pick your sin, but you can't pick your consequences. And let me tell you, what you do in the past will always affect your present. And this is what was happening. This is how it was with Saul. The believers would not accept him. They did not believe his testimony. They were suspicious of him. They were probably thinking that he was some kind of imposter trying to work his way into the circle of believers. You know that, the circle of friends, the circle of trust. He's an imposter. He's just trying to get right in the middle of us. He's there to spy upon us, and he's there to identify all of us so he can arrest us. And so what needed to happen from the Lord? Well, look at verse 27. It says, but Barnabas, and I love Barnabas. There's another name so you guys can ask the Lord to give you when they get to heaven. Barnabas means son of constellation or son of comfort. Fits him well, because this brother in the Lord, this brother whose name means comfort or constellation, he took Saul and he brought him to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and that he had spoken to them, him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Verse 28. So he was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and going out. So Saul was vouched for by Barnabas. But apparently the Spirit had been showing Barnabas already that. And so Barnabas began to sense that Saul, hey, he may be telling the truth here. And apparently he sat down with Saul, and Saul shared his testimony. He shared his experiences with Christ with Barnabas. So Barnabas became convinced that Saul was what? Truthful. And he took Saul to the apostles, meaning he took Saul to Peter and to James. And I love what he shared about Paul, because he shared three things that proved that he was a believer. And maybe when I share these three things, maybe you can look and examine your life. Is this in my life? I love this. Listen to what he shared that proved that Saul was a believer. Look at verse 27. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he declared on how he had seen the Lord on the road, and how he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So what three things did Barnabas persuade the disciples that he was true? Well, first, Saul's conversion. He says he had actually seen the Lord on the road to Damascus. That's the first sign. The second one is that the Lord had actually spoken to Saul. The third was that Paul had been preaching boldly in Damascus. So these three indications were what he proved to show that Saul was a true believer. The first one, hanging out with Jesus. He said, hey, he had actually seen the Lord on the road to Damascus. So what he was doing, he was hanging out with Jesus. In other words, he was reading the Word. Jesus is the Word. I think that's an indication for us as believers. We need to read the Word. We need to get into the Word. Second, praying with an open book. So why? So how? So that the Lord can speak to you. I think that's a second indication of a true believer. Someone who, when you are praying, you're also reading the Word of God, because you can pray and then God says, wait a minute, I want to talk to you. How many times do we pray and we just say, okay, Lord Jesus, blah, 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 amen. And we go and God said, hello? I didn't get to respond. Try praying and reading the Bible at the same time. Pray and read and watch the Lord speak to you as well, just like he did to Saul. And third, sharing the word with others. Are you sharing the word with others? Are you sharing your testimony? Are you witnessing? These were the three indications that Barnabas used to show the disciples that, hey, he's a true believer. Are these in your life? Are you doing these things? So after this, Saul was finally accepted by Peter and the others and was invited to stay with Peter. And so Saul did. In fact, he stayed with Peter for 15 days of pure fellowship with who? With the man who the Lord himself had chosen to be the first leader of the early church. What an honor that is. My first experience with a pastor outside the Catholic Church was a man who took us. Me and Carmen, I was 18, she was 17, and took us and invited us into his home up in Tierra Santa. A man who poured himself into our lives, and because of that, I can say it impacted my life. When I went to his house, I couldn't believe it. I was like this. It was a two-story house, and I was standing there looking up and down. I said, wow, because our house was just one bedroom. We lived in one bedroom in a house. That's it. That was our whole, everything we owned was in one bedroom. And to be invited to this man of God and seeing that house, it was amazing. But he poured out into us. Every week he came to that one bedroom, knocked on the door and said, hey, can I spend some time with you, read the Word of God? No, yes. I was like, no, don't answer the door, don't answer the door. And Carmen said, hello. I'm like, oh, hi, how you doing? Yeah, can I come in? Sure, come on in, you know. I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah. You're killing me, Smalls. But Saul spent 15 days. In fact, he tells us in Galatians 1:18, he said, after the 3 years that he spent in the Arabia desert, he went to Jerusalem to see Peter, and he remained with him 15 days, but he didn't see any of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. So Saul, too, because they're the same person. Saul's primary purpose for coming to Jerusalem was to see Peter, according to here in Galatians chapter 1, verse 18. And this was important because he went to learn, and not so much for the purpose of ministering, but he went to learn about Jesus from the other believers. But let me tell you, while he was there, he just wasn't a pew sitter. He still ministered. He still witnessed about the grace of God. He went out and he continued to preach Jesus. And when I think about the struggles that Paul went through, you know, just to be able to worship and fellowship with other believers, it tells me that he did not determine his worship of God on others. Don't ever determine your worship of God on others. Don't let others, what they say or what they do, cause you not to worship God. He didn't allow any thoughts enter his mind whatsoever about forsaking fellowship with the saints. They didn't want nothing to do with him. Did he allow them to determine his not worshiping of God? He did. He tried to get in there with them more and more and more, to the point where they said, "Hi, yeah, here he is again. Okay, come on." You know, don't forsake the fellowship of the saints. I'm always saying, don't be an island. Guys, become a continent. Okay, you know what I mean by that? Don't be an island. Don't be a little island all by yourself. You be a continent. You be with others. You be this big old giant fellowship of believers. That's what Paul did. He didn't determine his worship of God on others. There's no room for worshiping alone. He fought to fellowship with the other believers. He fought until they accepted him. He labored to enter the rest. In verse 29, look what it says. And he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Hellenists, but they attempted to kill him. And when the brothers found out, they brought him down to Caesarea and they sent him out to Tarsus. So again, Saul was, he was faithfully preaching, and he was not just preaching, but he was preaching boldly. He was preaching with confidence. He was preaching in the Spirit, and it was in his demeanor. He was faithful despite the facing opposition and the attempt of the assassination on his life here in verse 29. They attempted to kill him. But remember, he came to see Peter. And it only had been 3 years since he was given a letter from Jerusalem, from the leaders, to come over to Damascus and to arrest the believers. 3 years. So maybe, possibly, it was very dangerous for him to become too visible out there in the streets of Jerusalem, preaching about the one he was so adamant and so strong will to destroy, and yet now he's boldly out there preaching. But why would he preach about Jesus? And not just preach, but boldly preach about Jesus. And the reason why, it's very simple, two reasons. One, he couldn't keep quiet. The message of salvation, how it was given to him, it was in his heart. He just had to share with those who would listen. You can't contain God. God lives in you, but we're God containers, but you can't just hoard him. You can't contain him. He wants to come out. He wants to bust loose. I can't just hoard my relationship with Jesus. It's embedded in my heart. I got to share it. You don't know how hard it is to go to China and not to be able to share God. It's very hard, especially when you see a perfect opportunity. You know, it's hard. It's embedded in Saul. That's why he went out there and boldly preached, because he couldn't keep quiet. Second, and some lot of Bible scholars believe this, and it's probably true. The fact that probably he felt this pain over the consent of Stephen's death. And maybe he felt responsible for the Hellenist Jews whom he had fired up to murder Stephen. Maybe he felt that if he goes back to Jerusalem, it would give him the opportunity to go back to them and confess that what he did was wrong. At the same time that he was there, he can proclaim Christ to them. He probably went into the very synagogue where he had come against, and he argued with Stephen for the purpose of what? Trying to reach the very ones who helped him stone him. Well, when I think about that, maybe there's some of us here, or maybe there's some that we should try to reach out to and make things right. Maybe we stumbled somebody. Maybe we offended somebody like Paul. Maybe he felt, hey, I stumbled them. I offended them. I need to make things right. Maybe we need to go out there and we need to make things right. I tell you what, there's a neat story this brother told me a long time ago. And man, it just shows the power of God. This brother told me a story before his conversion in Christ that he went and there's this neighbor and this man or this, I can't remember, I'm going to try to paraphrase it. This person who had a car and he bought some new rims. This brother went and he stole the rims. Now, this is before his conversion. A year gone by, I believe, he got saved. And one of the things that the Lord told him to do is you take those rims and you take them and you apologize and you give them back to the man or the person you stole them from. We're talking a year later. So what did he do? He went over there, knocked on the door, and said, hi, my name is so-and-so, and a year ago I stole your rims, and I accepted Christ in my life, so here they are. I'm giving them back to you. The man, the persons were so amazed by it that they said, that's okay, because the insurance gave us some new ones. And he said, that's okay, I'm returning them to you because of his relationship with Christ. When I heard that, that blew me away. That is the power of God. And that is why what we have is real. How many of us would have said, well, it happened a year ago, I'm sure it's done with, I'm forgiven, I'll just keep them or I'll do something else. But to go back and make things right, maybe that's what we need to do. If you're here and you felt that I offend you, come make it right. Come to me. I may not even know. Make things right for those who maybe you led astray or you offended. Paul did. Maybe this is why he was doing that. He couldn't keep quiet. And again, he needed to talk to those Hellenist Jews. Look at verse 29. It says, and he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Hellenists. But they attempted to kill him. And when the brethren, they found out, they brought him down to Caesarea and they sent him out to Tarsus. So Saul was up against some fierce opposition, guys. The Hellenists refused to accept Saul and they turned their lives. They refused to accept him and turned their lives over to Jesus Christ. They didn't want to turn their lives over to Jesus Christ, I should say. They rebelled. They argued with Saul. And they became infuriated with him that they determined to kill him through assassination. But guess what? The brothers had his back. They found out about their plot. But really, it was the Lord himself who warned Paul or Saul and instructed him to flee in the city and to go to Tarsus. Go back to where his hometown. God had to get him over there. Why? Because the Lord was going to use Paul, and this was the beginning of his ministry to reach the Gentiles of the world. It happens in Acts chapter 22, which we're not there yet. I want to give you four honorable testimonies of Paul that you should live after. And if you have a pen, write it down, or a pencil, write it down. Because this should be in our lives as a believer. The first one is having a strong conviction in Christ as the true Messiah. Having a strong conviction in your life as Jesus being our Lord and Savior, because it's that conviction of the Holy Spirit that what? Brings us to God. It changes us. It makes things right. Second, let there be a strong determination to be obedient to witness, regardless of what you might be up against, regardless of the consequences, don't compromise your faith. Don't compromise your relationship with Christ. Determine to be obedient to witness like Paul. Third, have this unwavering, unfaltering, have a steadfast, unshakable perseverance and purpose for serving the Lord. Has to be in your life. You got to have a purpose in life. I remember my BC days when I saw the movie with Steve Martin in it a long time ago. And he got his name in the phone book. I'm somebody. I don't know if you've seen that movie. I can't remember. What is it? Oh, yeah. And he looked up. My name's in the phone. I'm somebody. He seemed like he had this purpose. Now that his name's in the phone book, he had the purpose to exist. As a Christian, have a perseverance and a purpose to serve the Lord. And then fourth, have a strong boldness and commitment to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to a dying world. That's Paul. That's Saul. Those four things. Those are things that should be in our lives as believers. We should be so, have this purpose to want to serve our God. It's like the song says in Psalms 27:4. The psalmist said, "One thing have I desire of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple." That should be our desire right there. Isn't that a beautiful song? And do you know that song, Tom? Let's pray. And why don't you come up and let's end with that song right there. That should be our desire. Those four things should be in your life. Those were the things that were in Saul. Those were the things that he didn't determine his worship of God on any animosity, any hatred, any desires for his life to be taken. He didn't determine his worship of God on the brothers who wouldn't receive him. He steadfast in his relationship with Christ. And because of that, that is what allowed the brothers to say, "You know what, he's real. Let's bring him in," and they accepted him. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we do ask for your blessing. We ask that, Lord, you would give us these traits as we look at Saul's life and how he persevered through all that he had to go up and come up against because of his past life. But that's the past. We're in the present now. And we want to live for you, Lord, not live for the world, not live for others. We want to live for Jesus Christ. And this morning, Father, if there's anybody here, Father, who maybe you haven't been living for the Lord, first of all, if there's somebody here who has not accepted Jesus Christ into his heart, it is so important that would be your first priority in life. If you're here this morning and you want to receive Jesus Christ into your heart, when we're worshiping the song, I want you to come up here so we can pray. I can pray with you. I'll pray with you right now that you can receive Christ. And second, if there's anybody here, if there's people here who maybe they haven't been a good witness, maybe they haven't determined or purpose in their heart to serve you, Lord. Maybe they have been determining their worship of God on others and on things of the world. If you need prayer this morning and you're here to say, "Hey, you know what? I want to be like Saul, Paul now. Saul's the old man, soon to be Paul. I want to live for God. I'm tired of living for others and living for the world. I want to live for Christ." If you're here this morning and you need prayer, we're here to pray for you. That's what we're here for. I'm going to ask you to come down here. So as we stand and as we sing this worship song, I'm going to ask the pastors and the elders and the wives, I want you to come down here. You're not, so you don't have to feel that you're alone here.